This is Jay Sekulow. Congress is back in session, and it looks like a showdown on Capitol Hill.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We're heading into what could be the most consequential week of President Trump's term in office when you look at the kinds of things that we're talking about having to get done. The government shutdown, avoiding a government shutdown, as you suggest. You had the president making big promises about revealing his tax reform plans on Wednesday. And, of course, there's the White House pushing Republicans on Capitol Hill to move forward with another vote on health care reform.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Regarding whether or not it gets done this week, I think what you saw Mr. Ryan say is that they have the votes this week. They'll vote this week. And that's what we expect.
But the flip side of it is he said, look, our top priority is getting the government funded. And he really didn't talk in any length at all about health care. It sounded very much like he's going to let that slip into the following week or later.
Well, and we've also heard rumors that the House and Senate might stay until Saturday. We don't think there's any structural reason that the House and the Senate cannot do both things in a week.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. So we are less than a week away from the potential of the federal government running out of money. White House officials have said that the president wants any spending bill to include some money allocated for a border fence on our southern border. Now, just to put everybody into kind of a perspective of what's really happened here, this is not new legislation that the president has put forward. This isn't new legislation that Congress has put forward. When we talk about a security fence, this was allocated in 2006. It was called the Secure Fence Act, and it was passed by when President Bush was in office. But guess who signed on to it? Then Senator Schumer, still it's currently Senator Schumer. He's now, the minority leader in the United States Senate. Barack Obama when he was a senator, and Hillary Clinton when she was still in the United States Senate. So this has had wide support. Now, there are literally meetings going on right this minute. I mean, right now in Washington on the Secure Fence Act, whether that will be included. The president has indicated that if it's not in there, he may not sign it. And there's also the discussion going on right now, Jordan, involving healthcare. And I say all of this, and by the way, Than Bennett is in those meetings and is sending us text messages during them, and we hope to get him on about the third segment of the radio broadcast.
The big question of the week, and this is what will dominate, is whether or not, one, there will be, maybe early in this week actually, a decision to at least do just a week-long funding measure. Why I think that that may come earlier in the week is so that there is not too much attention as we get closer to that potential deadline, about that deadline. So we know that the government will be funded for at least another week. What does that also mean? Reconciliation is still an option for health care. So it gives an additional week for health care to be the reform there, the American Health Care Act, to work through the reconciliation process. Yep. So it does not need to reach the 60-vote threshold in the Senate, but instead just the 51 votes, where even Vice President Pence could cast the 51st vote. So that is, again, what actually we could see earlier in the week. If we don't see it early in this week, I think that there may be efforts to try and get this all done before that deadline. But I think the safer bet is that they give themselves another week.
Well, let me tell you this. I've been in a series of meetings, and going back to 2 weeks ago, I was with the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. I've been with the President back before that on this issue, the week before, a couple of days before that, actually. Then I've had a series of follow-up meetings, including messages this weekend, where the indications are that, in fact, it's pretty close to the number of people available within the Congress, that both of these caucuses, the Freedom Caucus, the Tuesday group, that they're pretty close to a deal here. That's different than the situation with the funding on the fence, the security fence. And we want to get your reaction to all this. I mean, do you want to see a government shutdown avoided? Do you want to see negotiations to at least get something started on the wall or a fence? In the same situation, the president tweeted out this morning, he wants the fence. And also, what about health care and the defunding of Planned Parenthood? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we'll take comments as well.
That's right. You can find that at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Broadcasting live right now. Go like that page. Subscribe if you're not. You need to watch us in the studio, not just listen and talk to us during the breaks. Show never ends on social media, on Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. Also, like you said, give us a call. Phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard today on Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be right back.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Interesting tweet from the president saying the Democrats don't want money from budget going to border wall, despite the fact that it will stop drugs and very bad MS-13 gang members. What I mentioned earlier was the fact that it's interesting because then Senator Barack Obama, Senator Schumer, Senator Hillary Clinton all signed on to that Border Security Act of 2006. It just was never implemented. So that tells you that's part of it. And then we've got the healthcare part of it. Have we received any updates, Will? Arthan Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, is right now actually in Washington, of course, in a series of meetings on these issues, and has been letting us, giving us word. Do we have an update from him yet?
Not quite yet. He should have something for me shortly.
Okay, so we're going to get an update from him. We're going to try to get him to call in. We're already getting calls and comments are coming in. Logan, I think we should go start right taking them.
Let's go to Meredith, who's calling on line one in Illinois. You're on the air.
Hey, Meredith.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm on the air.
Yes, you are.
I was calling with the comment that to defund Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
My suggestion to Illinois is if they want to defund Planned Parenthood, they should primarily focus on defunding the Department of Children and Family Services.
Well, that's the State Department of Children and Family Services. Well, that's where that comes in. It's not a federal agency. So that does not affect the funding of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood's funding, Title X funding, comes in through HHS, Health and Human Services. And it's very important to understand we're talking about $500 million, $500 million, a little bit more than that, of defunding from Planned Parenthood. And Jordan, it looks like right now that as the legislation stands, that will be in the bill, that at least passes the House, and then the Senate is going to be a closer battle. We'll talk about that.
This health care reform that could actually finally get a vote, remember, it never even got a vote. It was pulled from the floor. Is the same legislation. Now, it's through the reconciliation process, but it's still the American Health Care Act, which means it would be a big change that would pull the defunding of Planned Parenthood out, because that was something that was bringing conservatives to it, that even they didn't like some provisions, but the idea to defund Planned Parenthood was very popular. It would still have to survive the Senate to make its way to the president's desk.
It may take Mike Pence being the tiebreaker there.
That might, because you've got a couple Republicans at least, and that's the question of if it survives. Can Republicans hold and get 51 votes or 50 votes in the Senate plus Mike Pence if necessary to get this to the president's desk? I believe that's the actually most important goal. If you can fundamentally, as President Obama starts to reengage the public and defend these, if you can fundamentally begin the repeal process of Obamacare and get that started to the president's desk. Remember, the next vote they'd have on this to make the even bigger legislative changes, the Democrats won't feel that pressure to try to be saving something that no longer exists.
Exactly correct.
So getting eight Democrat votes is not impossible. Right now it is. They're just not going to come on to help undo Obamacare.
Also understand this. The left wants a government shutdown. You understand? Of the New York Times is running a headline that says, will the government be open next week? Question mark. They would like to see a government shutdown. So I don't think we need to play into what they're trying to see happen. So I think we've got to be really careful on that because they are looking for a way to encourage a government shutdown. And I think that's what we're dealing with here. And we need to be cognizant of the fact that this is the politics at play, whether it's the security wall, whether it's HHS and the defunding of Planned Parenthood. They want to see the government shut down. They think that hurts conservatives. What are we seeing online? And then we'll take another phone call.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited, hopefully, for the defunding of Planned Parenthood finally.
And, it could be this week.
Yep, so people are, that's what a lot of conversation is brewing right now. Do you think it'll pass the House? That's from Debbie.
It's going to pass the House, I think, without question. The question is in the Senate, and we just said this, it's probably 50-50. I mean, I don't mean 50-50 percentage. I mean, the vote would be 50-50. And it would take the vice president, Mike Pence, to then tie-break the vote, and I think he would do that. But I don't think you could afford to lose more than a few, right, Jordan? I
mean, no, and you definitely...
And there was that thing with Joe Manchin over the weekend where he had a picture taken holding a Planned Parenthood sign. I thought that was not a good symbol.
Yes, that happened. Now, whether or not that was like the protesters at these events that shove something in your hand and you're just, okay, moving on. I mean, he's a Democrat still. He has never shied away from the party even over those issues. But yep. Would he not vote for it because of the defunding? I'm not sure he would go that far.
He would lose an election.
Yeah. So I think that you may, but I'm not sure he'll vote to get rid of the system.
Yeah.
So he could kind of vote against it, not because of the defunding plan, but because he doesn't believe Obamacare should be repealed.
And he said that. So a
here
lot
are
of this
the Republicans,
is...
though. You basically discount. I don't think you need to flood their offices yet because we haven't seen this even get to the Senate. But it's Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah, and I think
those
let's see
two
how that plays
have
out.
Been supportive of Planned Parenthood funding. Do they get enough support to where from Planned Parenthood to where they don't vote for something that they do actually? I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know. I'm not sure that Planned Parenthood.
We're going to work it very aggressively. Don't worry about that.
Planned Parenthood may be funding their opponents most of the time because they're not liberal enough. You know, they're moderate Republicans.
Yeah. But we're gonna work that aggressively enough.
Yeah.
But you got to do this, and it's timing is very important here. Let's get through the House, then we deal with the Senate. Let's go ahead and take another phone call here, Logan.
All right. Continuing on, let's go to Crystal, who's calling in Pennsylvania on line 3. You're on the air.
Hey, Crystal.
Yes. Hi, Jay.
Hey.
I love you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you.
My call is about the wall.
Yep.
Part of the reason Trump is in because we the people want that wall. Anyway, if Congress won't do this, why can't we the people fund this wall?
Well, you the people did. I mean, here's the truth is, Crystal, this is not new funding. That's why I want to be clear here. This was passed in 2006. It was called the Secure Fence Act of 2006, passed by Congress and signed by then-President Bush. It authorized about 700 miles of fencing along certain stretches of land between the border of the United States and Mexico. Remember, some of this you do by actual fencing. Some of it will be technology. So this passed. It was signed by Senator support included Chuck Schumer, Democrat, Hillary Clinton then, Senator Clinton, Democrat. You had also, on top of that, you had Barack Obama was a senator. He signed on it, too. So this was non-controversial at the time, and it's a question of funding. And I think what the president's saying is, I ran on this. I want to see it happen. Now, whether they'll allow a shutdown over it, I hope it does not come to that, Jordan, that it's already allocated. Get the process starting. Again, there's got to be some play in the joints. You got to have some political wiggle room, so to speak. But when you look at the decision-making here, here's what – this is the Jeff Sessions comment on this. I think is very important. He's the one that's got to be concerned with the criminality elements coming over the border, people that are violating the law coming here. Here's what he said at George Stephanopoulos.
So the president won't sign a bill if it doesn't include funding for the wall?
Well, he'll make those decisions. I'm not engaged in the budget negotiations, but I know one thing. We need that wall. It'll help us complete the promise that the president has made to the American people. That's what they want. The American people have a right to expect it, and I believe Congress will eventually deliver.
All right, so there you have it. I mean, Jeff Sessions making a very strong statement, but again, he's now the attorney general. He's not involved in the budget-making process. Let's grab another call here.
All right, continuing on. Let's go to David. Actually, he's calling in L.A. in Los Angeles, California. Line 6, you're on the air.
David, go
Hello.
Ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My call is about if Congress should fail again to repeal, what can the administration do, either through HHS or IRS, to stop Obamacare or to at least severely cripple it?
Great question. And they've already done some things. For instance, the penalty for not engaging in a qualified plan has already, the IRS was told by the executive, which is the authority of the executive, to not enforce that. So that's already number one. That's already taken place. So there are things you can do, but there's limits to those things. You can't change the law.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, what you're doing is you will certainly have this fall apart. And the question is, if you don't have anything to replace it, then people are just not going to have any. And they're already starting to feel that even before those changes were made. So there's no individual penalty, no more business penalty anymore. So effectively, I mean, the most important mechanism to Obamacare that businesses have penalties, individuals have penalties, is no longer being enforced. But until you completely change that, it's
still have the Obamacare kind of insurance pool.
Yes, and that means that in some places in the country, you're down to one option. On the exchange.
Yeah, you may have nothing. Maybe a government option.
Yeah, you may have nothing. Very soon. So there is a reason why there's a rush to try and get something done. It's not just for politics. It's also for the principle of making sure our healthcare system doesn't implode any more than it already has because of Obamacare.
Let me give you an update here from Than Bennett. He's in meetings right now with leadership in Capitol Hill. He's actually in the Capitol. Negotiations on funding are ongoing between the president and the Republicans and Democrats in Congress. Than says all sides trying to reach a deal before Friday, so to avoid even the continuing resolution, let alone a shutdown. Representative Mark Meadows from the Freedom Caucus and Representative MacArthur, and that's the Tuesday group, seem to have a deal in principle on health care. The question is if it secures enough votes and getting it into the legislative text. So that is involved. The White House is involved. This is going to be a very active Washington week with all of this going on simultaneously. I do not think we have time to take another call with only a minute left in the segment, but we will be back and taking more calls and more comments.
Hey, we can maybe tease this. Jackie said, well, if not Planned Parenthood, where will the funds go if it gets defunded?
We'll talk about that when we come back from the break, because I think that is a really good question. And there is plans for that. So it's not where the money goes and it's gone, and it still will be helping women's health care. So we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We've got a lot of other issues as well. Phone lines are jammed up right now, so you could try to call, but they are jammed up. Hey, don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. We today sent a letter. I'm supposed to have a copy of that letter. Let's get it. And that is a letter on Christians, churches being bombed in the Middle East. We've sent that to the United Nations on the genocide issue. We're working aggressively on that. I will have that for you during the break. We've got a lot more to talk about, including your phone calls. And don't forget our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Our Facebook and Periscope, you see the letter right there. That we talked about. So we'll get that up. So we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Well, there's a lot going up on Capitol Hill. We could be, you know, the left is trying to paint down this, you know, forthcoming government shutdown because they think somehow that's going to turn into a political circus and be bad for the conservatives. So that's what's going on. So they want a government shutdown. We do not. We want to figure out how to negotiate. I mean, this is the art of the deal and the art of the possible here. And the two issues that seem to be the biggest ones right now are the defunding of Planned Parenthood with really the health care repeal. They seem to be, according to Than, we'll get them on in a second here, very close. And also the issue of the security fence, which has already been passed in 2006. Now, Than Bennett, our director of governmental affairs, has been in the meetings. I mean, is in the meetings right now, actually, on Capitol Hill. Than, what is the latest that you have?
Yeah, just stepped out of a series of meetings. Actually, Jay, I'm in the hallway now. I hope the reception's okay here. But representatives from both the White House leadership and then also rank and file were in these meetings. And I think you laid it out pretty well, Jay. We're looking at a couple of very significant issues coming down the pike this week. Of course, the looming budget deadline on Friday, the 28th, of course. The president and congressional Republicans, as you have said, Jay, they want to keep the government open. But this is something, I want people to hear this very clearly, this is something that requires Democrat votes. So if we come up against that deadline on Friday night, and you're going to hear a lot of media and a lot on the left saying it's the president's fault, it's just the Republicans in Congress, this requires both Republicans and Democrat votes. It's very important to note. And then, of course, the other thing, and I've got a little bit of breaking news on this, the Obamacare deal, we have been saying there needed to be a breakthrough before the government shutdown deadline came. There has been a little bit of a breakthrough on that. There will not be technically, Jay, a new budget resolution this week. What that means is those reconciliation instructions that we have been wanting to use to pass Obamacare repeal, those will remain available for at least another week after this. So that's very good news.
So we've got basically this week and next week.
At least, yes. And also on that point, we had talked about this last week as well, but I do actually think they have reached a deal in principle on the Obamacare repeal. The question now, does it bring enough votes? We're going to probably know that in the next handful of days. But I actually am very optimistic coming out of these meetings. We took a giant step forward on that path.
And just to make that clear for everybody, so we're not going to see – so when this is announced, now you've kind of broken this news, but we're not – then that will kind of alleviate a lot of this shutdown talk this week once they announce that they're going to do a – at least a one-week continuing resolution to keep the government going. And you said at least. So they could do a couple of those if they had to before to get this potential health care agreement now, get it into legislative text that can be voted on through that reconciliation process. But you don't believe then that there's that those talking shutdown, that will take that at least off the table for a week or two.
Well, Jordan, the health care and the continuing resolution, those are related issues, but they're not directly the same. So I still think you could run into Saturday without a deal on the budget. But again, remember, there will be almost no impact felt until next Monday. And honestly, Jordan, almost none for another couple of weeks. What I am confident of, though, however, is that they are not going to pass a budget, which is different than the spending bill. They're not going to pass a budget because, Jordan, that would close the window on the reconciliation instruction. So mainly what I want our listeners to understand is if we don't get an Obamacare repeal bill this week, it will not be dead. We can move into at least next week on that measure.
So we basically have a 2-week window here that we're working. Obviously, Than, we appreciate the update on that. If you get any more, call back in, let us know. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, let's go. Let's go to Mary. She's in a whole little while. Mary in Connecticut, line one.
Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, gentlemen, for just the work that you
do.
I want to say how encouraged I am to hear that the Planned Parenthood issue is still on the table, and because I think that's the height of domestic terrorism, us killing our own citizens before they even had a chance to, be productive citizens. So I'm thankful for that, and I just hope that that's still on the table when the budget is finally passed.
Well, let me walk everybody. I think it's very important. Jordan and I will walk you through here. So what you've got right now is the left is trying to get it into a frenzy over a potential government shutdown. I know that's the third time I've said that today, but understand this is the politics of what's going on right now in Washington. They want a government shutdown. We don't. We want to get this thing worked out, which means we've got to negotiate. The two things to me that are not negotiable here are, one, the repeal of Obamacare, and that it has to include the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Got to get that through the House, then we focus on the Senate. And then when it comes to the security of the fence, that is already existing law. So this should not be complicated. It's just releasing the money for that. So the question is how you negotiate that, Jordan, in the process. Stan's saying we now got basically a two-week window on this.
Yes.
Which is going to be a lot of – that's a short window, actually, in Washington, D.C. time.
Yeah, and it is when you've got kind of a two-issue for us. You've got the health care issue and the budgeting, spending bill. And you listen to Stan again. These are distinctions that you may miss watching, a cable news two-minute update. But on radio, we can explain a little bit more. So there's a budget issue. There's not going to be a budget, okay, that hasn't right. been in I don't know how many years, right. but like an actual budget has been a long time. But that's different. This is the Washington talk, but it actually is how they parse things than a spending bill. So they can vote on what we will spend on without actually passing a full budget. That's why we keep having these shutdown talks every so often in our history, is because of the lack of an actual budget passing. That could be a discussion for another day. But under that spending bill passage, you still have reconciliation open. The question is how close to the line. Here's where I think we get into a healthcare problem, even within a potential agreement. How close to the line do you get to a potential shutdown? Because I asked that to Than, and we're not ready to say that it's confident it's definitely not going to happen. And that's because it's not just up to Congress. It's also up to the President yep. of the United States. This then brings in the third issue. So we got healthcare, shutdown, spending needed to be authorized. Third issue, does that spending that's authorized have to include funding for border securities and maybe even more specifically the wall itself? Yep. Or could the president send it back to Congress with a veto and say, nope, fix it? And yep. that could then lead to – so that's why you can't guarantee anything yet in this process. I mean, you can almost say you can get all of these things. You could also get none of them and a shutdown.
Yeah, so this is it's very much a fluid situation. So let me tell you how we're dealing with the fluid situation. So Than Bennett, of course, is our director of governmental affairs. So he's actually in the meetings with congressional leadership. I mean, literally as we speak. At the same time, we are putting together our policy position. As Jordan said, we're kind of giving it to you like it really is here. This is not with any kind of edge to it. This is what we're dealing with. I mean, we know the two endgame goals here are repeal of Obamacare, but also to make sure that includes the defunding of Planned Parenthood. But at the same time, and I think this is where it is critical, we want to make sure that there is also some type of border security recognized in these appropriations. So we've got about a two-week window to do it, but things are heating up this week. The left is going to try to get this into a government shutdown. We don't want that. All right, so we're here for another 30 minutes. Logan's going to give you all the options on how you can get the next 30 minutes of this broadcast, and then I'm going to ask you to do something specific on some of our cases, an issue that we're handling right now at the United Nations.
That's right. If you're listening on SiriusXM or many of the stations that carry the full hour of JSEC, you're live, you're good to go. But if you want a different experience, or if you don't get the next half hour, join us on ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSECULO, or Periscope. So we broadcast live video and audio during the breaks. The show never goes to break. We do exclusive web content, exclusive web videos that run just for people who watch and listen online. It's a great way to interact with people that are like-minded, sometimes not so like-minded. Again, ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSECULO, or Periscope, search for JSECULO.
So we've got ISIS jihadists bombing two churches on Palm Sunday in Egypt. Dozens of Christians have been slaughtered in Syria, including young kids. Crucified, actually. I mean, it's horrendous. We've now asked again and demanded this time, not asked, the United Nations to issue a declaration of genocide and to then impose the treaties on genocide, which would provide aid to those religious minorities, Christians in those areas that are being harmed. Your support of the ACLJ lets us do that in New York and in Geneva. ACLJ.org for our matching challenge campaign. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your calls and comments, in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Freedom. That's some old school Jay Sekulow Live. Taking care of business. Well, that's the goal of the week. So let me tell you what you've got if you're just joining us. So this is supposed to be budget week, which you really could go for 2 weeks. But the fact is, with less than a week to go, this is how the Wall Street Journal, and I think they're right, saying, you know, less than a week before the federal government could run out of money. But then you got the New York Times and others hoping that they will run out of money. In other words, so the New York Times is, will the government be open in a week? They want there to be a shutdown. You understand that. They want there to be a government shutdown. That's their modus operandi. So what we want to encourage is not to have a government shutdown, to negotiate aggressively and strongly here. Jordan, let's put into context for everyone the two major issues that are going on right now that's affecting and impacting the function of government, because really that's what we're talking about, staying open.
Yeah, so one issue obviously is healthcare. We keep being told that now Republicans, this is totally outside, this is not bipartisan, this is Republicans coming to an agreement. Moderates, you'll hear this word Tuesday group, that's the moderate Republicans of the House, and the Freedom Caucus, the more conservative members of the House. And that they're coming together with a proposal to Paul Ryan. President Trump, I've said this on the broadcast to make clear, he's been very open to whatever ideas Congress has since they've been the ones for 7.5 years. He was on the campaign trail for a year or so, but he knows how the Constitution works. It's up to Congress to get this to his desk. So he's been open to a lot of different potential amendments, changes. He does not say it must be this or I'll veto it. So it's not the White House really that's at issue here. It's Congress. Here we have a situation where, as Stan just broke, there's not going to be a budget passed. Okay, we're not going to have a budget. They're going to do that continuing resolution spending bill. And that can go for, I was actually asking Than via text, because he's still in these meetings, how long that could even go for. You could do that for a day, 2 days, a week, or through the end of the fiscal year. So until through September. So we may see a short couple of extensions to get the healthcare, Obamacare vote done, the repeal vote done for the American Healthcare Act. We could see multi-day extensions, week-long extensions, and then ultimately funding of the government through September. That being said, you also have the White House planning to announce a tax reform plan on Wednesday. And so this is all domestic issues happening right here, all with that threat. The media loves the threat of a government shutdown.
But the government shutdown is a political ploy by the left to make it look like that the conservatives can't function in running government. That's what that's all about.
The honest truth is that most government shutdown, if you actually do it and then see how the government operates, you'd say, why do we even pay for all this other stuff?
Yes, because it's quote, they call it non-essential.
Yeah.
So they don't close down essential functions, but non-essential. All right, let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Will in California on line 5.
Hey, Will, go ahead.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for all the things that you guys
Thanks.
Do. This is about the wall.
Yep.
Why don't we put a toll booth on U.S. and in Mexico, or all in U.S. coming in and leaving?
As a form of getting the funding available?
Yes. Yes.
All right, so here's why that's not necessary. This expenditure is insignificant in the overall budget. I'm going to be clear about this. We have the actual, let's get the dollar figure. This is not money that's going to make or break the U.S. budget. This is a political move. I appreciate the call, Will, but this is a political move by those that are trying to – why? And by the way, why are groups on the left saying we shouldn't have a fence or a wall? I mean, think about that for a moment. Most countries do. Why would we not? So what's the politics of that? Well, we know what the politics of that are, and that is just to make the president look extreme. But the reality is this was a piece of legislation passed by – with the signatures of Chuck Schumer, Hillary Clinton, and then Senator Barack Obama. So this is not complicated legislative maneuvering. It's just funding what has already been authorized, and it doesn't break the bank. I want to be really clear on this. This is not breaking the bank. In fact, we'll pull this up for us. It is the administration asked Congress for $1.4 billion in spending for the current fiscal year for the project, with additional $2.6 for the next fiscal year. So let's take $500 million out of Planned Parenthood, and this is not hard to find, okay? Not hard to find at all. That's the reality. Back with more, including your calls and comments, at 800-684-3110 in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So we're obviously talking about the budget issues because this is the big issue. But the New York Times phrases it this way: will Trump get his wall? I would say here's the answer. Will the American people get border security? That's really what this is all about. And understand how the media is starting to portray this. Unrelated note, but I do want to say this. I'm holding in my hand the letter. This is a legal demand that we've sent, and it is looks like it's over almost 20 pages. That we have sent to the United Nations. Now, this is on our ACLJ letterhead, but it's actually filed on our European Center for Law and Justice letterhead. And it is a letter on the Christian genocide that is going on in, really, since last week, that has been extensive, especially because they like to hit the holidays. We want the Genocide Convention implemented immediately. We want to have safe havens put together immediately for these people. This is serious. It's a global crisis, and the ACLJ is working on it. I've got an email going out on that today. If you're not getting our emails, you should. You can sign up for those at aclj.org, and that's a good reason for you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
Quickly, for those of you who are listening to Friday's broadcast, we talked what was happening in France. There was a terror attack there in Paris from a named ISIS fighter who'd been released from custody, and a first round of their presidential elections, which that occurred yesterday, went out. There were some issues with threats to polling places, bombing threats, but no actual incidents. They narrowed the field from, I believe it was 11 to 2 candidates. The two leading candidates then will face off on May 7th. So they go head-to-head. One is Macron. He is a centrist, but pro-EU, so more seen as like a globalist. He supports France being part of the European Union, but he's not a far-left guy. I mean, his political party is Ford or March. You know, it's like En Marche, but he is not the left in France. So the two candidates are a centrist and then Marine Le Pen. So the National Front, which is considered the furthest right French party, they will be head-to-head. Right now, most people expect that favors Macron just because you put all those other governing groups together. They each got about 20% each.
Yeah, so, looking at
and it makes it a little bit more difficult for someone
we'll see.
Like Le Pen. But you don't know. Where do the conservatives break who voted for the candidate that didn't make it? Are they scared of Le Pen, or have they gotten used to this more modernized rhetoric from her political party? So we'll know about that. May 7th is when that vote occurs.
Let's go. We got a lot of calls coming in. We knew this would be a busy day again on Facebook and Periscope. We encourage you to share it with your friends and stay engaged in the conversation. Get comments. Logan's reading those. Let's take a phone call, then we'll take a comment.
Let's go to Felicia in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Felicia. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Felicia, you there?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go.
Hello?
Okay,
let's... Cut her off. All right, let's go to Brian in Conyers, Georgia. Line 3.
Hi, this is Brian. First time caller here. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I'm a fairly young black male, and but before all that, I'm a Christian.
Yep.
So I just wanted to say, as far as Planned Parenthood,
right,
defunding it goes, right, I've noticed within my community there's a lot of, you know, they're looking at it as if it's a left versus right thing.
Yeah, right.
And I just kind of want to implore others that are listening, especially other black people, just to see it not as a Democrat versus Republican, but this is a, you know, they're killing babies.
This is a Brian, I appreciate you calling in on that, because this is a human rights issue. And there was an interesting comment we got in earlier on Facebook that was basically asking what's going to happen with them. Was that what it was? What was going to happen with the money?
Yes. So where would the money go in when it comes to Planned Parenthood? If it's defunded, where do the funds go?
So they're going to put it to community health centers to service women. So it's going to take the money that's going from Planned Parenthood, which they use for all sorts of reasons, and it helps them to do their abortion business, and it's going to fund medical centers, clinics in communities to specifically serve the needs of women. So it's not where the women are not going to get medical help that are necessary, especially those that are in financial need. So it's just redirecting the funds and getting them out of the abortion business, which I think will be a big win. And again, that's going to be coming up either this week or next.
All right. Comment came from Laura, said, I don't understand, if the Republicans have the majority in the House and Senate, why a government shutdown? Why is that even on the table?
Great question. I'm going to let Jordan get into that. Fan touched on that when he was calling in, but this is the great issue. Why would there be a shutdown if you have, in fact, you have two Republicans leading the House and Senate?
Because you're getting to a deadline. So the media can just point to the deadline of when
the media wants a shutdown.
Right. So they just point to the end of this spending running out. It doesn't mean that it will. But technically, if it doesn't get reauthorized, then you could have a situation where you have a shutdown. I don't expect that to be the case, because you can do these one-day extensions, two-day extensions. You have to have something pretty extreme. Now, there's a question about if there's not funding for the border wall in the larger funding. But I think that we could be a couple weeks away from that point, because I think that they could keep doing extensions through the health care. I know this is a different – through the health care. So if they can actually get a vote done through the health care on the House and the Senate, I think you'd see budget – you'd see funding extensions – through that process, and then you'd have to have that. Then I think we get to the shutdown issue and the border wall.
This is really good sound coming in from Senator Chuck Schumer. Listen to this. Listen to how they're trying to phrase this whole issue. Take a listen.
Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi were working along just great. We're right on the path to getting something done. A good thing.
Right.
That both parties could support. And he throws a monkey wrench in. Now, I understand it's understandable. He has his first 100 days. Health care hasn't worked out. So he's trying to do something with taxes, something with health care. Now there's this wall. That's not the way to govern.
Actually, that's exactly the way to govern. But this is, remember, they want a government shutdown. That's what this is all about. Whether it's the wall, which, I mean, arguing against a security fence is nonsensical. But whether it's the wall or whether it's the health care reform, which everybody now knows, I mean, how can you not argue? I mean, what argument can you make that Obamacare is working out when you've got various states which could have no insurance available, where you'll have to be using government pools to survive? I mean, that's what the reality is. Let's go ahead and take another phone call. Let's go to Cameron in Coral Gables, Florida, on line 5. Hi, Cameron.
Yes, sir. Jay, first off, I want to thank you and your team, man, praying for you guys, everything you guys are doing for the Lord and at the UN.
Thank you.
The wall and abortion.
Yep.
First, we got to remember what the role of government is. It's to protect civil liberties. But when it comes to paying for it, set up an American GoFundMe page. I bet you taxpayers, all citizens will pay for that bad boy. What about confiscated assets from the border, drug money from
there is no
you know,
because, Cameron,
cars.
There's no question that this is not a monetary issue. Okay? I mean, is the government going to stop because Planned Parenthood is not getting $500 million? No. Is government going to stop because $1.6 billion of our multi-billion trillion-dollar budget is going to border security for their fence? The answer is no. So these are straw man arguments that the left are using here, Jordan. That's all this is. It's a straw man.
Yeah, they are. And I don't like when Chuck Schumer tries to fool us all to think that he's really working with Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell.
Please.
He is only there to undermine and hurt any effort by Republicans. That includes Donald Trump, but also includes Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, and shame on them if they even think they should be working on deals with them. So far, listen, I know in the Senate it's a smaller, you got to figure out those 60-vote thresholds on some issues, not on this, not on health care, not on the budget, by the way. You don't have to, on this, the way the continuing resolutions works, you don't have to get a 60-vote threshold there. You do not need Chuck Schumer or any Democrats in the Senate. You do not need any Democrats in the House. That is why it all falls on Republicans. They need to stop wasting their time meeting with Democrats when they can't even unite amongst themselves.
I agree.
Spend that time later if you're actually united as a party. But when everything falls on you, you got a clear majority in the House and a majority in the Senate.
Fight back here.
We all get that. You don't even need to fight. Ignore the Democrats. Get things done.
Yeah, pass the bill. Here's what Dana Bash from CNN asked our DHS Director General John Kelly. Here's what the question, and listen to the answer.
Will the president go to the mat and insist on funding his border wall as part of the stopgap government funding measure?
Well, Dana, I think it goes without saying that the president has been pretty straightforward about his desire and the need for a border wall. So I would suspect, in fact, he will be insistent on the funding.
So I think, look, this is coming from the head of DHS. This is not complicated. Again, the left is manufacturing a economic showdown for no reason other than they want the press of it. And they know that would hurt the party in power. I mean, that is, understand, that is what this is about. This is not actually about, I want to be clear here, this is not actually about the functioning of government. This is political theater. Logan, you want to take another call or a minute left? Probably not.
Maybe I'll take a call. We could maybe find a comment. Though.
Okay.
A lot of people are commenting in. This is a comment from Jan. Said it seems like we need to fund health care for women in need.
Yep.
We do not need to fund the abortion business.
That is really what's at stake here. So that $500 million will be reallocated to community health centers that will provide community health services for women in need. It's that simple. What we're going to get out of, what the government's going to stop doing, is funding a group that is engaged in the business of abortion. And that should solve that problem. Again, this is not going to cause the government, should not be causing the government to shut down. It doesn't impact the role of government. The same thing with the border security fence. This is not the way it's being portrayed in the media. And that's why we wanted to go through very carefully with you. That's not to say, Jordan, that they're not going to fight about this, because you already heard from Chuck Schumer what they're trying to say. The president's throwing a monkey wrench into it by trying to get, you know, something actually accomplished.
Yeah, I again, ignore Chuck Schumer. Ignore Nancy Pelosi. Republicans can do this without any Democrats. They're going to have to do it without any Democrats. All of the pressure is on Paul Ryan and Republicans and the White House. It's not on Chuck Schumer. They are only there to destroy. They are only there to hurt the president and to hurt the Republican Party. These are political animals. They are not running anything anymore. They are now the party of no. And that's, as we saw as Republicans, that's a lot easier. But ignore them. Ignore them and get things done. That is our problem when governing as conservatives.
And that's right now.
Ignore them and get things done.
You got 2 weeks. All right, back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
back, everybody. We're going to take all your calls. I just mentioned this to our Facebook and Periscope audience, but I want to tell you this again. As we're talking about the domestic issues, I want you to understand that our international offices in Geneva, in Strasbourg, France, around the globe are working. And we've just filed with the United Nations a request for recognition that what ISIS is engaging in is atrocity, specifically targeting Christians, which is true, and other religious minorities, which is also true, and that it should be deemed genocide and that appropriate legal action should be taken under the conventions involving genocide. We have sent a 20-page letter demand to the UN that has been presented to the UN General Secretary General. So we are taking all of this seriously. While we're talking about domestic issues, and I think this is going to be a domestic issue week, we want you to know that we are working on these other issues aggressively around the globe. And again, if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, our matching challenge campaign, with just literally a little more than a week to go, ACLJ.org. All right, Logan, we've got a lot of calls. Let's go right to them.
Let's go to Joyce, who's calling in Mobile, Alabama, on line one. Joyce, you're on the air.
Hi, Joyce.
How is the Freedom Caucus that impeded in the repeal of Obamacare in March standing now? And does that affect passing the bill now?
It does. The Mark Meadows has come to, and it appears, based on the conversation when Than called in, and Than is in those meetings right now, that Mark Meadows, who's the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, has actually come to an agreement not only with leadership but also with one of the other caucusing group. They call it the Tuesday group, which is more of the moderate Republicans they're trying to coalesce here. This shouldn't have all been played out.
Paul Ryan ended up doing here is saying, okay, you two, the moderate Republicans, conservative Republicans, you go sit in a room for 2 weeks with what they've been doing and figure it out, because most of us are okay with this. So it's your two groups that aren't, and then come together. The question is, how much control? Just because you're the head, just because you're Mark Meadows, does not mean you can guarantee all those members are going to vote a certain way. Same for this Tuesday group. I mean, these are, again, small constituencies within a broader conservative umbrella.
Yep.
If they come to an agreement, they got to get it to legislative text, take about a week. They should be able to keep the government functioning through then. And listen, you could take these first 100 days, which the left's been hammering, and suddenly you have a healthcare change and healthcare reform and the spending handled. And I think you'd have a massive change in how you'd interpret these first 100 days of this presidency.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls here.
Let's go to Jennifer in Brooklyn, New York. You're on the air, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer, go ahead. You're on.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I heard the comment about Mrs. Schumer. And I really think that these people are being very irrational. You know, they're destroying, they're fighting, and, you know, they got people tearing a place apart at the college campuses and everything. And I didn't think I was going to have to say anything but where I wanted the money to go. But I think that where you're putting it is an excellent place.
Yeah, that's in our decision. That's already in the legislation that's been proposed. So this is going to help women in need. By the way, I appreciate you calling in from Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, so I appreciate that. And look, I mean, that's already there. The question, Jordan just said it, the question now is, can we get everybody to agree? And it looks like we're moving in the right direction. We've got about 2 weeks to pull it off. We appreciate you calling in. Let's go ahead. This is our last round where we always take the calls. So on anything you ask, 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines open. I don't know if that was good or bad that I said that, because we only got 5 minutes left, but go ahead.
Let's go to Lori, who's calling on line six. You're on the air.
Hi, Lori.
Portland, Oregon.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Quick question and then, or actually quick comment, then a question. So we adopted our son from our state's foster care system, and that process opened our eyes to what a broken system it is. My quick comment is, if any listeners attend a church without an adoption foster care ministry, please consider starting one. And then that leads me to my question. So if Planned Parenthood is defunded, can any of those current funds go to supporting the foster care system?
Probably not the foster care system, unless it was health care for either the child or health care for the parents
that really
are doing
under
it.
Women's health. I mean, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be funding those places. You wouldn't. I think you could be more creative, especially with pregnancy centers. But this money goes specifically to women. Unfortunately, even the way that they look at this is that that potential life is not a life. It's
not
a human.
By the way, of course.
And so. But this funding is I'd say maybe the better way to say it is adult women's health.
I think that's
what it's for. Obviously, these state by state issues, which each state is different, everybody who's ever dealt with that, and we have as lawyers, knows how bad that process is.
Terrible process. Yep, absolutely.
That's, that's the bureaucracy
problem. Yeah, and that is the bureaucracy problem.
All right, let's go to Cindy, who's calling on line five.
All right, Cindy, go ahead. Here.
Hi, I got a question. My comment is, since the firing of Bill O'Reilly, is the left targeting conservative journalists?
Well, take the Bill O'Reilly situation out of it, and is the left targeting conservatives? Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
So that's never changed. And that based that on a headline today in the New York Times about government shutdown. So I'm going to put the Bill O'Reilly situation on the side here, because as everybody knows, I do a lot of work with Fox News. So put that on the side. Are they targeting conservatives? Yes. Okay, you got to be prepared for that. That's the reality of what you don't give them a lot of ammo to come back at you. I will tell you that. But look at the headline in the New York Times on the budget issue. Is this a government shutdown? They want a government shutdown because that's the political line they want. So yes, conservatives are always being targeted. Go ahead.
A comment came in from Wiley. She said, "Will abortion still be available if Planned Parenthood is defunded? Does this doesn't change the law?
You know they'll raise the money." I mean, let's be clear, that's their business. I mean, that's their reason for existence. But let's have us, as a nation, clean our conscience so that we are not funding it. Right. I think that's really what this is all about. It's a conscience-cleaning move for the United States of America to say we're not going to be in the business of having tax dollars paying for abortion, the termination of a child. It's that simple.
All right, let's wrap it up. And Lori is calling on line three in Indiana. Lori, you're on the air.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, thanks for everything you do. I have a comment with a statement.
Okay.
I'm really hopeful that they get this health care reform pushed through.
Yep.
Reason being is a single woman, I'm trying to make a living, struggling like a lot of other people.
Yep.
And they brought Obamacare representative into my place of employment.
Yep.
It was going to cost me $300 a month with a $6,000 deductible.
Yeah, I know.
And they said, I said, I can't afford that. And the representative told me to have them cut my hours so I could get free Obamacare.
Yeah, well, this is why it's hurting the economy. And that's why Obamacare has it. If I was putting you on the witness stand, you're the reason why we're fighting. Because that's, first of all, $6,000 deductible means in your situation, you can't have, that's no insurance. And then you're going to pay $300 or $400 on top of that. So you're already out $12,000 before you start. And then they say, oh, well, cut your hours back and you'll get free health care. Well, except then you're not making a living. And that's why this nonsense that President Obama put in place has to be undone. Period.
Yeah.
You're the best example of it.
Yeah, that is the example. And, it's unfortunate that we know that this is not just the idea of potential, that these are real life scenarios.
There you have it.
Where people are having to decide between complying with this and trying to get insurance. I mean, honestly, they don't have to worry about the penalties anymore, but they still want insurance. And then, or cutting their hours back.
Yeah, this is absurd.
It's such a liberal, leftist kind of decision make. Work less, get more free government subsidies. You think that's plan here? Make people obsessed with what they get from the government instead of working more hours.
That's right. And that'll do it for today's show. Appreciate everyone who called in and commented on social media. If you want to be a part of that activity, you need to log on over to facebook.com/jseculo, Twitter follow @jseculo, @JordanSeculo. You can find all that information, though, at aclj.org. Make sure you get on our email list and everything that we do. We broadcast live here daily, if not more. So again, that's at aclj.org for all that information.
Don't forget also that the UN, we are there today defending those that cannot defend themselves. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.